Are you aware that you're likely feeding the Palantir database? The Palantir database is the mass surveillance tool of the federal government and law enforcement. While you may think law-abiding citizens should not be concerned about this, hear me out. You should always be conscious of this and your choices. Recently, Governor Walz of Minnesota said this: "Help us establish a record of exactly what's happening in our communities. So carry your phone with you at all times. If you see these ICE agents in your neighborhood, take out that phone and hit record." My take? Bad move. As an opposite response, an ICE agent in Maine takes a video of some woman at a protest that says to her, "You're being added to a nice little database," which identified her as a domestic terrorist. Obama calls on every American to support and draw inspiration from Minneapolis anti-ICE protests. In case you forgot, it was actually Obama who built the infrastructure for domestic surveillance with an expanded CIA and a centralized database shared among intelligence agencies, which of course is now the foundation of Palantir data. So the politicians are saying this to you: go ahead, protest, go out to the streets. I'm right behind you. Yup, behind you. You take all the risk and will profit on this politically. Tom Homan said a database would be launched for leftist insurrectionists stalking and attacking ICE. This would include their name and face and would contact their employers. Notice that none of the politicians ever tell you how to protest without being put in a database of domestic terrorists. And in case you forgot, during Biden's term, the same thing was done. FBI memos revealed investigations into threats at school board meetings, leading to accusations of labeling concerned parents as terrorists. Our political actions, when not managed with privacy considerations, puts us at risk. I just gave you a single example. The problem is that all of this, combined with our choice of devices and behavior, results in more data for Palantir. And who uses this Palantir data? The government. And the tables always turn. While Obama built the infrastructure for surveillance, utilized heavily by Biden, and now it is in Trump's hands. Amazing how that works. So why do we feed the database? Why do we let our emotions rule our choices instead of being smart? What you need is technology guidance. Keep your data away from Palantir systems. With this, you can have a safe experience while exercising your freedom. Let's figure this out. Stay right there. What I'm going to teach you. This whole exercise is to make you aware of the surveillance databases. First of all, I want to make it clear that this isn't just about protests. You need to understand what the pieces are that builds the surveillance databases. Some are out of our control. Some are based on our behaviors. Some are based on bad choices in the products we buy. Some are based on accepting choices politically because we didn't understand the implications. My goal today is to make you understand what feeds the surveillance machines and how we as citizens can stop or reduce the amount of surveillance as it really can be used to limit our freedoms. What is the Palantir system? Palantir is a government contractor that primarily provides tools for data analytics, allowing for quick extraction of data from potentially thousands of databases using AI tools and sophisticated data mining. As such, it is the primary surveillance tool used by the military, the intelligence community, and law enforcement. What concerns us today is its use for mass surveillance. Just to give you a big picture of the surveillance network, when Palantir is given a contract with an intelligence agency or a law enforcement agency like the FBI or a police department, it stands to reason that they will have the authority to access all government databases. These, of course, are specified in Palantir contracts, so I'll skip explaining the mechanics. Some of these databases may have nothing to do with surveillance, such as Social Security Administration records. These power the identity part of the system. I'll explain later what these identity databases are. They're the normal records you expect with any government. But the next layer of data relates to mass surveillance. Here we're talking about cameras of private people, cameras and detectors of various sorts installed by local governments. Next, we have the surveillance infrastructure of the internet. We have private parties selling data on locations, financial events, and activities on the internet. And finally, there are the communication surveillance. These are the carriers that manage our phone networks. While you may think of these as private companies, they're actually pretty locked into the military-industrial complex and is a major piece in the surveillance all over the world. The point of explaining this is that Palantir naturally has access to all of this, and the reason being that the governments from federal to local have the same access, so it stands to reason that Palantir, the database tool, would be able to access the databases they control. Now, I may give you the impression that there's a single database. I'm just using that imagery for ease of explanation. As I said, Palantir is used to integrate the content of thousands of databases. Identity databases. A surveillance database starts out with the databases that have a long-term presence, and much of this is started at birth and is completely out of our control. I call these the identity databases because they are tied to our names in the U.S., our social security numbers, and our date of birth. Aside from the typical expected source of birth certificate records, immigration records, border entry records, we also have medical records. I don't know if you're aware, but back during Obama's term, medical records were centralized. Then to this, we have passports, driver's licenses, FCC, FAA, SEC, firearm, medical, realtor licenses, and so on. Basically, whatever license you need from the government, you're in that database. Now, extend this to property records, education records, voter roll records, and any sort of public court record. Then we have security clearance records and fingerprint records. Sometimes there are also DNA records, although that can be retrieved from commercial sources too. And governments like to establish laws requiring registrations of everything. In California, they need to register every ammo purchase, no matter how small. This has gone beyond gun purchases. This goes on and on. Every time the government creates a new regulation which requires you to register for something, then you've just created a new entry in a Palantir system. I want you to understand this little detail as this is related to political choices we make that affect source databases. Databases are not just text. From passports, driver's licenses, and security clearances, there is a record of fingerprints and photos in these same databases. There's also a super secret voice print capability to identify you by voice. So understand that the identity databases are just a starting point. Government-sourced behavior databases. Unfortunately for us, this has expanded now into government databases that track our behaviors and actions. This goes beyond identity because it can be used to find out what we have done. The latest surveillance tools are the flock cameras. These were mostly installed by local governments, primarily cities, and they are truly everywhere. In a large city like the Los Angeles metro area, you can find them in so many intersections, on freeways, and on many roads. These cameras record and recognize the license plates of each car. This is referred to as ALPR, or automatic license plate readers. These are even implemented in parking lots where they automatically know when you've paid your parking ticket and the gate automatically opens. But think of the implications of this. With a flock camera doing ALPR, you can be basically traced as you travel throughout a given area. It is a simple matter to find you as there would be a record of all the ALPRs you've encountered. Imagine saying you did not go to a particular protest, but the ALPR data shows you driving from home to the area of the protest and leaving from that same area later on. Local governments have many other surveillance cameras. Again, these are used to do facial recognition. The lack of awareness of this simple technologies would prove to a court of law that you're lying. And as I said, facial recognition can later verify that you're in that particular vehicle. Flock cameras and other government cameras are everywhere in public places. But those of you who have Ring cameras have participated in the surveillance infrastructure, but by using your own money. Ring has an agreement with law enforcement. Police departments encourage the use of Ring cameras, but police then get access to the videos. So whatever you see on your Ring camera records may also be visible on the Palantir database. And there's now a special agreement between Ring and Flock, so the camera data on both, plus the ALPR, are now combined in the same database. Easier now for Palantir to integrate. Every law enforcement organization has its own records of arrests, traffic stops, and events that trigger an encounter. These, of course, also become part of the record that's added to a Palantir system. Commercially sourced databases. Instead of relying on government devices for surveillance, the government can now just purchase that data and share that with Palantir. One of the biggest sources of commercial surveillance data is the location data from Fog Data Science. Using the location data pulled from apps, those get sold to Fog Data Science, which in turn sells that data as a service to law enforcement. So in essence, this data is now incorporated into Palantir. Just so you understand the implications of this, if you were at a protest and Fog Data Science captured that location info, the identity of the phone can easily be determined by seeing where the phone goes home to at night. Then, of course, it would be a simple match to identify that person using the addresses in the identity databases. What you post on social media is also retrieved by various social media aggregator sites that sell your data to both government and employers, so an employer can check your activities before hiring. Fog Data Science location data can be beaten easily by having a de-Google privacy phone. But if you persist in using your favorite iPhone or Google or Samsung Android, then expect to be in this database. In case you missed it, U.S. border officers now ask for the social media accounts of entering aliens. It is part of the visa application, so it can easily be searched using Palantir. Huge commercially sourced databases are the credit bureaus. These are a financial surveillance tool and can be used to track all your credit card data and your contact info, again, integratable into a Palantir system. There is another database called the Google Sensor Vault, and this is the record of all your phone locations 24/7. This is exact, except this is not likely sent to Palantir, but it is retrieved by subpoena. Once retrieved, that is the moment it gets added to Palantir. Carrier source databases. One of the biggest sources of behavior-based data is your phone, and you already know that most phone services require you to show ID to get the cell service. This means that cell phone number is now matched to your identity. This data is completely available to law enforcement via a Clinton-era law called the Communication Assistance for Law Enforcement Act, or CALEA. The effect of this is that law enforcement or intelligence operators can use CALEA-enabled systems to directly wiretap, track all calls, read all texts, and have all this data matched to your identity. This, of course, is easily integrated into Palantir. Beyond just the metadata of phone and SMS traffic, you also have the location data. There's always a record of where your cell phone is in relation to nearby cell towers, thus providing a way to roughly triangulate your position at all times. Let's translate this to plain speak. The implications are that government has access to data, and a lot of it is outside your control. By your very existence as a citizen, plenty of records will exist about you in the Palantir system. That's fine, and that's normal. But that by itself is not dangerous. The danger arises when a hostile government, one that's opposed to your point of view, for example, uses data to track your behaviors. And then this data is used to classify you and then flag you in some way, like Tom Holman's statement about marking you as a domestic terrorist. In case you missed it, in the UK, people are being arrested based on what they say in social media. Given that governments keep changing, we can never be assured that the people in power will be on the same side. And thus, really every person is at risk. This risk has changed 180 degrees in a single year. Different people are being targeted now. I gave you the classification of the various databases they use for surveillance so that you can be aware of what you can control and what you cannot. For example, can you control your presence in the Flock ALPR database? Well, not if you drive your own car. But if someone else drove you and dropped you off, your awareness of this may mean you've just escaped the surveillance. If you go to a protest and bring your phone and take pictures like Walsh wants you to do, then that is your choice and your fault. You've just presented yourself to the fog data science location tracking, cell tower tracking, and other cameras. If you used your phone at some protests, then you've enabled CALEA law tracking of your phone calls and texts. If, for example, you turned off your SIM card because you've listened to me, then CALEA tracking disappears, but Google tracking may still tie you to a location because you have a production iPhone or Google Android. However, if you also had a privacy phone, then likely the phone would disappear completely. Then, if you're cavalier about your appearance, everyone's taking photos and videos, and you're in the shot. Then you're zucked. If there's a Ring camera, Flock camera, or other camera in the vicinity, you're flagged via facial recognition. If you used a hat and sunglasses and a hoodie, that could be a bit of protection. The point of all this is that awareness of the databases will lead you to some solution, even by yourself. Some choices are not obvious. We make other choices that affect surveillance, and these have implications that are not as obvious to you, but you may have wholeheartedly supported it politically. There had to have been political support for this. 25 U.S. states have passed laws requiring internet age verification, a majorly stupid law because this is a direct surveillance threat. What happens here, if this is actually used, is that another database is created and this feeds into the behavior patterns that are imported into Palantir. So those of you who supported this are completely blind to the end result. Age verification has been implemented in various places worldwide. Recently, it was just adopted by France. Australia passed it last year. UK passed it the year before. Italy is on the list. The EU generally has some rules on age verification that can affect large platforms. Once databases are created that document access to various internet sites, then our entire internet activity can be recorded and surveilled. Good job, politicians. More surveillance. What about the kids? Yeah, so how about teaching parenting? How about passing laws to limit devices accessible to kids instead? The ammunition registration rule in California was passed a few years ago, so even purchase of a single box of ammo now has to be recorded in a database, which will of course be sent to Palantir and used to profile you. Another recent California law is the Delete Request and Opt-Out Platform, DROP. So in order for you to have your data deleted, you then have to register in this California database, which in fact then profiles you to have the data perhaps deleted from a social media platform, but flagged to be retained at Palantir since you must have something to hide. I repeat this again. Anytime you have to register for something and you agree to this law, then expect that that registration will go into a Palantir system. For example, voter rolls routinely list your political party. In many states, this is public information and doesn't even require Palantir. But be wary. In California, voter rolls are private, but you can query a public database to see who voted for whom on your street using only totals. It should be obvious then that Palantir will have the exact votes, since that is an accessible government database. Another misunderstanding is how ICE determines who the illegal aliens are. This is so simple. Whenever you enter the country, you fill out various forms that tell the government where you are and where you will go. Stop filling out the forms and you're automatically illegal. Match this to passport records, driver's licenses, employment records, and all the databases I just described, and it should be a simple matter to find where you are. If you're hiding, eventually you will have some cross-reference record that will pinpoint your location, for example, a credit card purchase, a phone SIM card. The surveillance infrastructure is dense. Unfortunately, the surveillance infrastructure is very dense. Just as illegal aliens will find it hard to hide, it is really difficult to do an activity that would put you at risk, like posting political commentary on social media, without really deep thought and understanding of this infrastructure. And yet we continue to vote for more surveillance in the world. One of the biggest surveillance devices we have is our phone. Someone argued with me in the video about Palantir because he said I was blaming the victim, meaning the user. Then I asked him what phone he used, and he proudly stated he had an iPhone 7 Pro maxed out with the most storage, so basically a surveillance machine. I bet that same person proudly would have a Ring camera in his own home, which then would record his comings and goings and feed the Palantir system. That iPhone 7 is feeding 24/7 location data to Apple and the Google Sensor Vault. I have videos discussing the use of phones, providing alternate solutions to phones, keeping Google tracking out, keeping location tracking out, hiding IP addresses, eliminating the advertising ID, and so on and so forth. And all this supports the premise that if you take some precautions, you can evade chunks of the surveillance infrastructure that feeds Palantir. And when politicians make choices that create another tracking database, age verification, or even planned automated vaccination cards, many of you agreed to it. What you agreed to is to put more bars in your surveillance prison. Things you can learn from this. The operative word that should be heavily used is the term pseudo-anonymity. This means keeping your actual identity away from being recorded in various databases, which eventually ends up at Palantir. Identity information include phone IMEI, IMSI, phone advertising ID, Google ID, Apple ID, IP address, MAC address, exact locations, real name used on the internet, phone numbers, email. All of these are threats. What you need to learn from this channel is how you segregate your life in the identity databases, which are locked in, from other information about you which profile behaviors. Why not make behavioral data pseudo-anonymous? Today, I'm just giving you a big picture of the threats. From this, you should learn that there are various techniques and tools to gain more privacy and limit your presence in the Palantir systems. You cannot disappear from the Palantir databases, but you can block behavioral data from getting you flagged in some way. Subscribe to this channel so you learn more. Folks, if you're serious about privacy, come join us at BraxMe. It's a growing community where real privacy people hang out. No censorship, no nonsense. While you're there, check out the tools we actually built and use ourselves. BraxMail, unlimited aliases, no IP leaks, multiple domains. Brax Virtual Phone, real anonymous numbers with no KYC. Bytes VPN, no logs, unique pie-hole DNS, and no big unknown corporation. The Google phones, and more in the store. The Brax 3 phone is on its second batch and is open for pre-order right now at braxtech.net. The first batch sold out shortly after release. Big thanks to everyone supporting us on Patreon, Locals, and YouTube memberships. You keep this channel alive. See you next time.